This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, March the 27th, 2009, Gillette Stadium. And slim pickings this week for the Roster Report, not only in terms of moves, where we have one low-level offensive-slash-defensive lineman to talk about, but in terms of people to talk about said moves. No Eric Scalavino, no Paul Perillo, so we went to the bullpen. We got an old fan favorite from podcasts of the past and the face of Patriots Today here on Patriots.com. I can't give you the body because the body belongs to somebody else on that show, but you are the face of Patriots.com.
Make sure you Brian tell your Lowe. Friends you heard it on PVN.
And I sit in this chair for the Fantasy Lowdown, you could also mention.
Oh, the Fantasy Lowdown.
When will that be? It's not like I'm new to radio here.
Now, does Fantasy Lowdown have a draft show?
You know, we've discussed it. No firm ideas in place yet.
Okay, sorry, we spent too much time.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Patriots sign offensive
great
lineman.
Great to be here with you, Andy.
Domaine Duckett, March the 23rd. Very interesting guy for somebody you probably haven't heard of.
Yeah.
Formerly of the Carolina Panthers, New York Giants, and San Francisco 49ers, came into the league out of East Carolina as an undrafted free agent defensive lineman with the Panthers. But after a couple years, 20 games, he has played on the defensive line, one start. He's been bumped over to the offensive side of the ball on the practice squad in San Francisco last year. Has never played offensive line in an NFL game. But
don't even know what specific position he would be playing.
No, yeah, and I don't think we'll see him play offensive line for the Patriots, but could be a very interesting training camp story, no?
Hey, as long as you're going to bring in guys. I mean, at offensive line for this team, we know that the all five starting incumbents from last year will be back. And we know that some of their top reserves, like Russ Hochstein, the guy that they did sign who could make the team, Al Johnson.
Big Al.
And then you got like Wesley Britt, Ryan O'Callaghan. You've got some guys who are sort of in place as backups. But a guy, and you know that they're going to bring in some other guys, even if they're just training camp fodder. Very interesting guy because he's got NFL experience, but like you said, kind of new to the offensive line. But hey, this team always falls back on the whole Stephen Neal thing. Yeah, right. You know, when he was a wrestler, he didn't even know where the field was. If they see something in this guy, you put him in a private room with Dante Scarnecchia, let him learn the tricks of the trade. I'm sure we'll see some curse words out of Dante Scarnecchia and talking to Domaine Duckett.
Certainly.
But he's an interesting guy, and why not? If he opens some eyes, maybe he can land on the practice squad or be involved a little bit, and maybe he's a project.
Plus, we know how Belichick works. There's a chance you see him on both sides of the ball in some preseason game.
Absolutely.
He could play defensive line. He could play offensive line. Who knows? But as I said, for this type of a signing, a relatively interesting story. I'm sure there'll be, you know, some interesting interviews in training camp, and, you know, I'm sure PFW will write something on him, getting to know Domaine Duckett. Beyond that, I wouldn't look for him when they cut down to 53 in late August.
Right, and I guess he does have, practice squad eligibility, I suppose. I mean, he was on practice squad all last year, so.
Yeah, well,
he was on
injured reserve last
injured reserve
year,
last
practice
year.
Squad the previous year.
Yeah, hard
sometimes
to say.
I get confused with who exactly has practice squad eligibility left. But you certainly won't see him on the regular roster. But I do want to, touch on a couple quick things, and then I do want to look at the offensive line roster as it stands today and project maybe how it will stand in September. But I want to just talk about a couple other notes that could have long-term impact on the roster. Couple just names to throw out there. The Patriots reportedly will host Cincinnati defensive end slash tight end. You know, we're on two-way players today here. Mm-hmm. Connor Barwin, who is essentially a Mike Vrabel lookalike. A lot of people are using that as reason to believe, you know, with the need, with Vrabel gone, maybe he could be a Patriot. And now, definitely, he's one of the 30 guys Patriots will be bringing, reportedly, to Gillette Stadium for a workout.
Yeah, and we were both at the Combine, and he was certainly a guy who, you know, you kind of, the flashbulb goes off. You're like, oh, this is a Patriot guy. He talked about Vrabel.
Yep.
You could tell that this is a guy who is a Patriot type of player the Patriots have already looked at. And, hey, Vrabel's got, you need a guy to maybe fill in that role. I think he's a guy who you've got to figure they have their eyes on. And if Shane Waldron or Matt Patricia, tight end coach, linebacker coach, are doing a private workout, you can only do so many private workouts or host only so many guys. If he's one of them, you figure there's a good chance that they'd be interested. And I was at the UConn Pro Day the other day, and speaking of two-way players, one of the most interesting anecdotes that came out of that was Tyler Lorenzen, who's the UConn quarterback, who's a fringe draft-eligible guy. I mean, he's draft-eligible, but a guy who, you know, maybe is a seventh-round pick or a free agent. Well,
I agree with Bill on this.
Well,
I have no interest in seeing him work out at quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. Apparently, Bill Belichick, and this is what the players were talking about afterwards, Bill Belichick asked Randy Edsall, the UConn head coach, if Lorenzen would work out as a defensive back. And obviously, if you're a player at your pro day, and any head coach, let alone Bill Belichick,
right,
asks you to work out anywhere, if you'd say anything other than, show me where to go, you're obviously...
Unless you're, what's his name, Eric Crouch or whatever, the kid out of Nebraska who always put up a stink.
Yeah, and where is he now? Exactly.
Long gone.
Exactly. And Tyler Lorenzen worked out as a DB, and I'll tell you what, I'm no scout, but he was working out with Darius Butler,
yep,
who's a potential first-round pick.
And a two-way player
in
his own right.
And a two-way player himself, a cornerback and
wide
receiver, and one other player. And if you didn't know any better and you're just a layman and you walked in there, he certainly didn't embarrass himself. Nick Caserio was working him out. Patriots guys were there working him out. He was running, drills where you're keeping track of the ball and then you're going out for a pass and trying to intercept it. And he seemed to hold his own. And he said afterwards, you know, I don't know how good I looked, but I felt okay.
Right. As long as you don't embarrass yourself.
And because he's a guy, you have to figure if he's a guy who, good chance he doesn't get drafted at all. If the Patriots saw enough out of him that day that, hey, there's something here we might work with, and he gets three or four calls right after the draft from different teams, and one of them is the Patriots, you got to figure he's a guy who'd say, hey, they saw something in me, I'm going to go there. He's a guy just to keep an eye on. Does he ever play a game in the NFL? Who knows? But he's another one of those versatile athletes.
Practice squad, plays safety and quarterback, runs a scout team. You never know what your future can hold. And as you said, Bill Belichick has already shown an interest on some level in him.
Exactly.
Maybe that's the difference when those free agent calls are made after draft weekend.
Exactly.
I also thought Butler was interesting as well.
Ran
a very fast time, 4.3 change, which is great.
Yeah.
Obviously, as an athlete, played wide receiver and not just sort of intermittently, played some serious, I guess, 8 or 10 snaps a game at times, scored touchdowns, had some decent games at wide receiver. No interceptions last year. A lot of people believe that's because they stopped throwing towards him, which is something that happens when you become an elite corner at whatever level, high school, college, pros. So I think that's interesting. Obviously, the Patriots have shored that area up a little bit through veteran free agency, but I wouldn't eliminate a stud corner, and if they think Butler is a stud corner, I certainly wouldn't eliminate that. Also, a kick returner who could come in and contribute on that level.
Yeah, that's the thing. Butler had an impressive run, an impressive 40-yard dash. He went to Prime U, by the way, the Deion Sanders camp. And Drew Rosenhaus is his agent.
Jesus. Why don't we just write primetime flashy player on him?
And was on hand that day.
Plays two ways, has Drew Rosenhaus, goes to Prime U. I mean...
Right. He'll be a Cowboy. No, but
that's what he feels like.
he's a very interesting guy. He's small, but he's lightning quick. And you mentioned could the Patriots go for cornerback? I've learned never to rule out any position. And the good thing about the team right now is, with the exception of linebacker, there's no position where you say, boy, they have a major hole that if they don't fill in the draft, they're screwed for this year. Outside linebacker, there's still some movement that needs to be done. I certainly think they're going to go defense, and I would say that even with the signings they made at cornerback, Lee Bodden and Sean Springs, I mean, they could be very good players for this year. They could be very good players for this team for a couple years. One of them could be cut before this year. They still need some depth at cornerback, I think, and they might be high on Terrence Wheatley and Jonathan Wilhite, but I don't think they saw enough out of them last year to say these guys can be penciled in as starters over the next 5 to 7 years. If you can get a blue-chip guy, either with that 23rd pick, 34th pick, somewhere in that late first, early second round, I think you pounce.
That Butler could be that. I'm not saying the Patriots do, but some people believe he could be an elite corner.
Yeah.
You bring us full circle to some degree. Linebacker is the one probably glaring need at this point, with the Mike Vrabel trade and a hole there, and Pierre Woods, Tully Bantakane, guys that have very minimal starting experience and production in the NFL. So I just want to update on the rumors that we've discussed in recent weeks here on the podcast. Julius Peppers' agent, through an email to one of the Carolina writers, said he will no longer be discussing Julius Peppers, trade, Patriots, anything of that nature. Kind of gone silent, won't have anything else to say until there's something to say. Which is interesting because we all know that the Patriots are certainly not big fans of negotiating and doing business through the media. So that's just something to keep an eye on moving forward. And the Jason Taylor rumors. This week, Yahoo Sports had a report that, according to two sources, Jason Taylor's favorite team, the place where he'd like to land, Foxborough Gillette Stadium, the New England Patriots. So just keep that in mind as we move forward. His agent said he's going to talk to Jason later on. I think it was this week or next week at a charity event in Florida. But clearly Taylor's in no rush to sign. Great player. He'll find a home at some point. Not looking for big money, looking to play out the string. Maybe he plays out the string for a year or two in New England on the old Junior Seau ring plan, but who knows?
Well, I think for a lot of reasons, I think Jason Taylor is much more likely than Julius Peppers. And Jason Taylor, the reason he's not with Washington right now is because he has no use and no interest in their offseason program. So he's certainly happy to take his time Dancing with the Stars, whatever acting career he has.
Cheap shot.
I'm not saying, hey, they're voluntary. As long, and I don't see Bill Belichick being in this particular situation with this particular player. If he says, hey, look, I want to play another couple years, I want to play for your team, I'm just not going to be around for the next couple months. Let's just wait this out.
And we know there's example. Junior Seau was not around and played for the team.
Right.
If we remember correctly, when Randy Moss was traded for, it was early on Bill said, we're not sure what his schedule is going to be, if he's going to be able to make it to any of the offseason stuff, even referring to passing camps and those types of things. Now, Moss did end up coming to more than I think many people expected, but Bill seems to be open with known commodities like these guys that are supremely talented, understanding that they're going to come in shape. They're not going to show up to training camp at 350 pounds, unable to rush the passer. I think we know Jason Taylor will be in shape if he comes here.
And the interesting thing, too, is a quote that Belichick had in the last couple of days with one of the interviews that's gotten a lot of play in the media was his thoughts on bringing in veteran guys who are towards the end of their careers. And what he said makes sense. You're going to get the best out of them because they know that their time, if they've got a good head on their shoulders and they've been good athletes as far as keeping in shape, you know you're going to get the best out of them because they know their time is short. And bring them in for a year or two, a la Joey Galloway, and see what they got. But you're going to get their best effort and good value. So I think all signs point to Jason Taylor being here. I don't think Julius Peppers ends up here. However, the Panthers play here once next year. So if he remains on the Panthers, we'll get to see him once.
Very interesting thought, B-Lo. Come full circle as we wrap up this podcast.
That's the second time you've used
come full circle. You're doing
a great job.
Can
you do two circles at once
in
this show?
Yes, you can.
Wow.
If you stack them, they're a figure eight, but that's a different story.
Not bad.
I just want to know, do the Patriots draft an offensive lineman on the first day of the draft?
I say yes.
Yes.
I say yes because I think that offensive tackle is deep in this year's draft, and I think it's a not immediate need, but a not too distant future need. Draft a guy, a stud.
So Brian Lowe says, Domain Duckett is not the answer to the offensive line problems. He also says, Nick Kazier, Ryan O'Callaghan, and all you guys competing for the right tackle job. Keep an eye out. There could be a rookie in the mix. An early pick, because of the depth of that position, could be finding a home in Foxborough come draft weekend.
Wouldn't be surprised.
That's Brian Lowe filling in. Brian Lowe,
there's no G.
Greatly for the babbling Paul Perillo.
Thank
on this
you
podcast.
So much for the invite. I can't express that enough.
We'll call you back again if ever I don't have anybody else to turn to, as I
so
did
like
today.
Week 2 of July.
We'll see.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for another Patriots.com roster report. Each and every Friday, we update you on all the big moves. This week, it was Domain Duckett. Next week, who knows, but we'll be back with the information.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.